I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1 this morning. Luke chapter 1, we're going to read verses 26 to 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the things that you've recorded in your word. Father, we thank you for the testimony of Mary and how she humbly allowed you to use her in this way, the privilege you gave her. Father, we thank you that you chose to send your son to die on the cross for our sin. Father, help us to focus on you this morning. Pray you'd help me to be clear and accurate in what I say. Pray that anything I say would not distract from the truth of your word. Pray that you would be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. How many times do we face a situation and we look at that and we say, there is no way things are going to work out? Or we say, I don't understand how God's going to accomplish what he said he would do here. And we just think, it's impossible. You realize we have a God who works the impossible? The doctor's just given you a diagnosis that's very bleak, or a child rebels against his parents' authority and leaves home, or a financial crisis hits when things are already low. How in the world are things ever going to turn around? Mary has made the commitment to marry Joseph. That commitment has already been made. The covenant has already been taken place, or the acceptance of that covenant has taken place. Joseph has gone to prepare a place for his new bride. Mary is now just waiting for the time when Joseph will return to take her to their home. We read in verse 28 that an angel comes and gives Mary a very important message. And he says, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And now there's no doubt that Mary had been given a great honor. I mean, there are likely many virgins in that time that were wondering, is it me? Is it going to be me? They had known about this. It was very likely the Jews expected their Messiah about this time based on prophecy, based on the things that they had learned from recorded scripture. But the only thing they didn't know was the exact time. They didn't know exactly who would be the one that would carry the Christ child. Isaiah 7:14 says, The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Or call his name Emmanuel, rather. There were probably many young virgins, as I said, that were capable of bearing children, but God in his sovereignty chose Mary. And based on the examples throughout the Bible of people that God used to do his work, I believe that the character of Mary had a lot to do with why she was chosen for the special role. Here was a woman who feared God. Here was a woman who was humble. And she was willing, as you look in chapter 1 there, where you look at her response, you realize she was a woman to allow God to do whatever he needed to do in her life and to use her in whatever way he could use her. Even so, when the angel appeared to Mary, she was surprised, understandably. It's like, wow, what, you know, she maybe read about in the Old Testament, you read about times where the angel appeared to somebody and how they gave an important message from God. But as we all know, reading about something and actually experiencing it firsthand is a lot different. And so this angel appears to Mary and it's like, she wonders what manner of salutation this was going to be. What is he coming to tell me? Is he telling me good news, bad news? What is it? And the angel gives her the message. In verses 30 to 33, he says, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. But notice Mary's response in verse 34. She says, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? See, Mary was keeping herself for Joseph. She was committed to Joseph. She had already given that covenant. She had already agreed to the covenant to be Joseph's wife. She had entered into that solemn covenant with him, but the marriage ceremony had not yet taken place. There was a time of waiting. But Mary had kept herself pure for Joseph. And she says, how is this going to be, seeing I know not a man? We can look at this passage and we can think, well, Mary was questioning God's ability. But I don't think that was what Mary was saying here. This is not a question of could God do it, but rather a genuine question of God, how are you going to do it? God, I don't understand. Yes, God, I know you can do it, but how are you going to do it? How can you do it through me when in my human understanding, I don't comprehend? And Mary was most likely familiar with miraculous things that God had done, as Scripture was recorded. She had heard about those miraculous things that God had done, even in the Old Testament. But she was expressing here her humanity. She says, God, in my human understanding, I don't see how it's going to happen. I don't see how you're going to accomplish this. Some people choose to deify Mary because she was the mother of Christ. People think that she ranks right up there with God. But that's not the case. Mary is just like us. Mary had flesh and blood like any of us do. Mary was a sinner just like the rest of us. But God had bestowed on her a special privilege. Do we have any other instances in the Bible where God used people to do some amazing things? How about Moses? God asked Moses, says, Moses, I'm going to use you to lead 2 million people across the desert to a promised land. That was an amazing thing. God used Moses to perform some amazing miracles, if you will, plagues in Egypt to show his power. You look at David. How many of us would go against a giant Goliath when all the army is standing around us wondering how they're going to ever do it? God used David to kill Goliath and defeat the Philistines. God used Nehemiah to lead a group of Jewish people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. And as a carpenter, I think, wow, that was an amazing feat. And they were dealing with rock and mortar, not wood. 52 days. God used Nehemiah in a great way to rebuild the city, but also to rebuild the people and their respect, their view of God. And then God used Esther. Esther was instrumental in securing the lives of the Jewish people. Why? Because God used her to do that. God chose her to, God put her in that place to do that. And though the name of God is never mentioned in the book of Esther, the work of God is very evident in that situation. God used many people to do many amazing things. And here we see that God has chosen to use Mary. Now, did any of these people in the Old Testament, did any of them ever show their sinful nature in their choices? Sure they did. We know they did. But how is God able to accomplish his will in sinful people? How is God able to accomplish his work? Does he really need us? Does he really need us to do his work? You know that God accomplishes his work by allowing sinful creatures to do it? By allowing us to do his work? God is not looking for perfect people. If he does, he's going to have to create a whole new human race because there ain't any around here. Me and me to start with, none of us are perfect. But God knows that, and he is not looking for perfect people. He's just looking for people willing to obey him, people willing to do what he wants them to do. Verse 30 gives us a clue of how he was going to use Mary to bear the Christ child. He says in the end of that verse, "For thou hast found favor with God." It's that same, that word favor is the same word that we get our word grace from. We've been talking about grace on Wednesday nights and how grace is the desire, the God-given desire and ability to serve and obey God. And God was giving Mary that ability, that grace to do his work. And he had given favor, shown favor toward Mary. Not as a favor, as a matter of, "Mary, you're my favorite. But Mary, I'm giving you the grace to do this. Mary, I'm giving you, extending the ability to you to do this." That grace is the same grace that God gave to Noah when God told Noah to build an ark. Gave to Abraham when he told Abraham to leave his country to a land he didn't know where he was going. It's that same grace he gave to Joseph in the midst of imprisonment, in the midst of slavery, in the midst of accusations. For Joseph to continue on to follow God, to Joseph continue on to do what God needed him to do to deliver his family from famine. He gave that same grace to Job when God allowed Satan to test Job in so many different ways, to take away his home, his cattle, his family, his health. God gave him the grace to deal with all those things. God gave Daniel that grace to deal with the accusations that he was going against the king. He gave him the grace to spend that night in the den of lions. But God used him and God gave him the grace to deal with what he wanted him to do. And it's that same grace that God gives to each of us to bring us to salvation. It's that same grace that he gives us to grow in Christ. Verse 35 gives us an explanation of the grace of God. It says, the angel says to Mary, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." When God gives us grace, when he gives us favor, when he shows us his kindness, when he gives us the ability to do what he wants us to do, when he chooses us to obey him and he chooses to give us opportunity to serve him, he gives us the ability. He gives us the power of the highest. You see, he doesn't say, "Well, do it in your own strength." He says, "I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to enable you to do those things." And God further demonstrated that grace when he said, "Your cousin Elizabeth is also going to bear a child. Your cousin Elizabeth is also expecting a child in her old age and in her barrenness." And God extended that grace to her as well, giving her the ability to do that. But how many times do we respond as Mary responded? And he says, "How can I do this? How can this be done?" We're faced with a trial or even a situation that comes with a lot of unanswered questions. We wonder, how is God ever going to get us through it? Many times we're faced with a difficult situation. We think the way out is impossible. What's going to make the difference? What's going to make the difference in our perspective and in the way we look at things? What is it when it looks impossible? Let me share with you some passages in the Bible that talk about God's ability to do the impossible. Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Genesis chapter 18, verse 9 says, "They said unto him," and these are the messengers that came to Abraham, three men that came to Abraham, and as he's there in the wilderness with Sarah and Lot, and these messengers come to him, and they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" He said, "Behold, in the tent." He said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" It's really a rhetorical question, because no, the answer is no. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And he says, "At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." If you look at Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 to 23, is another instance of God doing the impossible, or it's what seemed to be impossible. Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. The children of Israel had complained to God, God, we don't like this manna anymore. We don't like this thing that you're giving us. It's just whatever. We just don't care for it anymore. We're tired of it. It's like eating peanut butter sandwiches every day. God, we're tired of it. We want meat. We want some good meat. And they began to complain. They began to say, God, we want some meat. And God says, okay, I'll give you meat. You're not satisfied with what I give you? I'll give you meat. Verse 16, the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with me, with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Now I look at, I think that, really? It was well with you in Egypt, the slavery and having to make your own bricks and getting your own straw. It was well with them in Egypt, though. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. But even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month? Shall the flocks and herds be slain for them, to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them, to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. God says, am I not able to do what I said I'll do? Is my hand waxed short? Am I giving a promise that cannot be fulfilled? God was able to do the impossible. Jeremiah chapter 32 is another passage we see. God is a God of the impossible. Jeremiah 32, verse 16. Jeremiah is writing, he says, now when I delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And he goes on to talk about the things that God has accomplished. He said, thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel and among other men, and hast made thee a name as at this day, and hast brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, with great terror, hast given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, and they have obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold, the mounts, they are come unto thee, unto the city to take it. And the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it, because of the sword, and of the famine, and of the pestilence. What thou hast spoken has come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God told Jeremiah, said, Jeremiah, I'm going to keep my word. Jeremiah, my word will come to pass. And then one more passage in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Jesus is traveling, Jesus is ministering here, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered him again, saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." We see things from a limited perspective. Mary saw things from her human perspective, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with us seeing things from our human perspective, but let's not limit God to that perspective. Let's not limit God to those things. Is it impossible for the creator of the universe to place in the womb of a woman a baby that would be born, even though it was outside the bounds of human understanding? No, that's not impossible for God to do. Is it impossible for the God of all creation to promise something that he would not be able to bring to pass? No. Is it impossible for God, who made, who governs, who sustains all things, is it impossible for him to work in the heart of man to bring him to salvation? No, it's not. With man, all these things are impossible. Man has not been able, although he's tried to in different ways, man cannot create a living person in the womb of a woman. Man cannot give an unexplainable promise and guarantee that it will come to pass. Man cannot save himself from the penalty and bondage of sin. Man is limited, but God is without limitation. So what made the difference for Mary? Look back at Luke chapter 1. Because we see her go from surprise by the angel's visit, not knowing how God was going to accomplish his promise, to her response in verse 38. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. We see here a spirit of humility and trust. Mary is saying, in effect, "I will serve you. I don't understand. I don't completely comprehend. But I will serve you, and I will trust you with the results." Mary understood that this was a work of God, and so she didn't need to fully comprehend it. She didn't need to know all the ins and outs. She didn't need to know days ahead, because God had it all figured out. What makes a difference in our lives when we realize that we are a sinner before a holy God, and there is no way that we can pay, earn, or live a good life, a life good enough to satisfy the wrath of God against sin? What is it that makes that difference in our lives? With us, it's impossible. I can't save myself. You can't save yourself. But God proved himself powerful to provide the sacrifice for our sin, that we might be reconciled to him. And our response must be one of submitting to God's way of salvation by confessing and turning from our sin and trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Just as Mary humbly trusted God, we must humbly come to God for salvation. Matthew Henry said, "There's no word of God must be incredible to us as long as no work of God is impossible to him." Really, it shouldn't surprise us when God is going to do a work. We realize there's nothing impossible with him. Do we fully comprehend how God saves a sinner? No, we don't. We must understand it is a work of God. And with God, nothing is impossible. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God of the impossible. And Father, thank you that we don't have to fully comprehend all that you do in our lives, but we simply have to humble ourselves and trust. Father, help us to be encouraged and challenged by these things this morning. Help us to be encouraged by Mary's testimony. You realize she was a person just like any of us. And yes, she didn't understand, but yet she chose to allow you to use her that you might be glorified through her life. We thank you that you can do the same in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.